Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. My name is Abraham Hamilton III. Joined by the corner contingent right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa. And in the screening room, your friendly neighborhood woodaholic, Mr. Marty Sparks, lighting up the dark from there. Yes, still perpetually in recovery. And the real J Mac will be in the screening room soon enough. But we are ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to do so with intentionality. Recognize the primacy that God places on family. Understand that what goes on in your house is far more important than what goes on in the White House. Of course, I understand there are important things happening in the White House. You know, you might have heard about this little summit that's going to take place tomorrow in Alaska, or, you know, the crime problem in Washington, D.C. happening right now, and the president using the Home Rule Act to try to tamp down the increase in murder and other types of criminality at the moment. Those things are important, but they're not more important than what's going on in your home. You know, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the state of Mississippi's ability to require age verification for minors to use social media. That was a decision that was issued today. My question is, do you know if your children are accessing social media? Do you know if they, you know, and I would never try to, you know, run anybody else's household, but you know, I do have teenagers. They don't have phones. Some children, unfortunately, these days have, they call them phones, but let's just be real. They're not phones. They are powerful computers that are mobile computers that have the capacity to make phone calls and text. And if you're honest, most of the young people these days, they're not even calling anybody. They're texting people using text messages. But do you know what's on their phones, on their devices? Do you know? Your children, I'm talking. Let me be more specific. I'm not asking, do you know what's on other people's children's devices? I'm asking about your own children or my own children, you know, and I'm not trying to be on anybody's soapbox. In this day and age, my children use computers and things of that nature, so I have to check their computers, not because I don't trust them. I don't trust what's on the other side of the computers. You know, you have software and things that can help you in that. My simple point with all of this is it is shameful if we know more about what's going on in global geopolitics than we know what's happening in our own homes. We must batten down the hatches at home first. The first outlet, the first external outlet for ministerial engagement is our families. Let us reverse the cultural trend to provide or ascribe, I should say, importance and significance to everything else, but we neglect what's going on right in our own homes. We have the capacity and the opportunity and the privilege to execute the King's Commission starting right in our own homes. So as you're making your transition from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs, let's do it with intentionality, man. Let's have purpose at the forefront of our minds and hearts. Take full advantage of the time that God has given us. And if today is the beginning of that for you, let today be that day. If you've been going at it this way for a while, man, continue in that. Refuse to become weary in well doing. All right, to the Word of God we go. We're going to go to the book of Amos today, the book of Amos, chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. Amos, chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. You know, the very beginning of Amos's book tells us several things. One, that Amos is a shepherd from Tekoa. So you have the reality that God summoned Amos from a southern portion, of Judah, to come to prophesy against the northern kingdom of Israel. One of the things that is strikingly interesting about that is that at this stage in Israel's history, they didn't really regard shepherds very highly. You know, they were kind of outcast to a degree in society. So here you have the Lord using one and administering through one who is viewed as an outcast to carry the weight of being God's representative, to proclaim God's will and God's word all the way to the Israelite monarchy. You know, God has a way of taking the unexpected and the disregarded and the maligned and the people who society might say, are they even in the room? And God says, yep, that's my vessel for this particular purpose. The next thing I want to point out, the scripture identifies the time period in which Amos ministered. It was between the reigns of Uzziah in Judah and up until his death in about 739 BC, and the monarchy of Jeroboam II. The scripture says the son of Joash in the northern kingdom. So you have that time period that dates the book basically between 796 and 739 BC. You get that right from the text. Well, when you see that time period, 796 to about 739 BC, this is relatively shortly before the ultimate conquest and exile of the northern kingdom of Israel by the Assyrian Empire, which culminates in about 722 BC. But prior to that transpiring, the Lord spoke through Amos to convey this message. And this is one that we would do well to heed in our own times. And this is what the Word of God says. It doesn't start out with the warm and fuzzies. Verse 21 starts out straight away. I reject your festivals. Nor do I delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer up to me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. I will not even look at the peace offerings of your fatlings. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not even listen to the sound of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like ever-flowing streams. Now here, it's noteworthy for us that as Israel was really running headlong into egregious sin, God would send them witnesses. God would send them prophets. God would send people to call them to repentance prior to ultimately judgment being applied to the northern kingdom. But I want you to see that it wasn't as if they weren't still having, you know, their religious gatherings. It's not as if they were not having their performative festivals and their performative instances in worship. But their hearts had strayed far from God. Hence his description, I reject your festivals, nor do I delight in your solemn assemblies. Which communicates that they were still having the assemblies, though. They were still having the solemn assemblies. They were still having the festivals. They were still having the performative worship occasions. But those occasions did not accurately reflect the conditions of their heart. The thing that was supposed to be worshiped to the Lord, he communicates through Amos that he rejected it. You can consider this Hamilton Corner public service announcement, but God is not in agreement with everything we call church, brothers and sisters. We can't just, you know, slap the warm and fuzzies and put whatever description we want on it, because the God that we serve is the same today, yesterday, today, and forevermore. some of the activities that we're saying, this is us being the church, this is us doing church, God is not in agreement with. We should never confuse frequency of activity with God being pleased by said activity, with it being a sweet-smelling aroma in the nostrils of God. Because this is one source, and Amos really sounds a lot like Isaiah here. This is one biblical example of the Lord saying, I know what you're doing, you're getting it on, you're doing it. You're having all of the gatherings, you're having all of the performances. But I say, away with that. It reminds me, we've been talking, you know, not too long ago about the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3. They believed that they were wealthy, and because of their material wealth, they believed they had need of nothing. And the Lord had to tell them, you don't even know that you're wretched. You're wretched. You're naked. You're poor and pitiable. I'm gravely concerned that some of the same things are happening today, that people are misconstruing frequency of activity or maybe even building sizes. Surely the Lord is in this. Look at all of these folks. I just want to tell you guys. You can get 60,000 people in the Superdome on a Sunday for a Saints game. You might sense and feel like a spirit is moving, but that ain't the Holy Spirit. I've shared before, you can have scores of people gather, but the gathering of people doesn't mean that God is pleased, because people gather oftentimes in rebellion. Take a gander at the Tower of Babel. Massive amounts of unity in rebellion. This text indicates that there must be more introspection, heart examination that goes deeper and beyond activity assessment. They were having the solemn assemblies, and God said, I detest them. I don't delight in them. You're rendering your offerings, I won't even look at them. We should truly examine, guys, where we are. What are we about? Have we allowed ourselves to become so infatuated by the frequency and maybe even the routine of the activity that we don't stop to check, wait, where is my heart, though? Is my heart yearning for the Lord? Because the activities could be prevalent, but the heart condition simultaneously be decrepit. The call for the Christ followers, for as verse 24 concludes, for righteousness to flow like an ever-flowing stream. The gathering of the believers is supposed to be the gathering of those who do corporately what we do individually when we are not together. You've heard me say, and I will continue to say, that worship is not confined to any particular activity. Worship is a lifestyle. And the pinnacle of the lifestyle of worship is obedience. It is obedience. There is not one who is a worshiper after the Lord's heart. As the scripture says, who worships him in spirit and in truth, who would be content living a lifestyle of disobedience to his holy word. Hypocrisy should be uncomfortable for a believer. The scripture commands us to examine ourselves, and we must examine ourselves, because it's possible for all of us to fall into the place to where we get into the routine of the activities without considering the truth of our heart condition. God said through the prophet Amos here, I hate your festivals, nor do I delight in your solemn assemblies. God is not in agreement with everything that man calls church.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Not being alert, making unwise decisions, moving without a sense of urgency, any and all of these actions in wartime can literally cause someone to get killed. Psalm 91 is a unique weapon in Scripture that addresses many of the perils in life. Using this weapon daily helps us to be prepared for many of the attacks the devil may utilize consistently against us. Our encouragement to you is to pray Psalm 91 every single day over yourself and over your family, because remember, in the dangerous, crazy world we live in, no one can protect you like the Lord can. Lord, anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace and mercy that would empower us to be warrior-minded believers who are absolutely every day praying Psalm 91, as well as putting other weapons to work fruitfully and wisely. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Hi, this is Jim Scudder for today's Moment in Grace. God's value for us doesn't stop at salvation. Each day, He shapes us to be more like Jesus. Jeremiah 29:11 says, His thoughts toward us are peaceful, not evil. Even in hardship, His plan is good. When you question your worth, ask, Am I more valuable than a sparrow? In Matthew 10, Jesus says, Not one sparrow falls without the Father knowing, and we are worth more than many sparrows. Hebrews 13 promises God will never leave or forsake us. 1 John 4 reminds us that we love Him because He first loved us. Never forget, you are worth the price of God Himself. For daily devotionals delivered straight to your inbox, go to ingraceradio.com.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. So the information keeps coming out. So we now have actual documented proof of Obama administration Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates. This is wild. While FBI satellite offices, not FBI Central in D.C., satellite offices were investigating She Who Shall Never Be President, following the, this is amazing, the luxuriously funded Clinton Global Initiative. They were actively investigating She Who Shall Never Be President, at this time, former Secretary of State, for corruption. And there's now documented proof of Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates sending an email to these FBI satellite offices to saying, instructing them to shut down the investigations. Yeah.
Recently.
Yes. FBI Director Cash Patel just released the email. We now know when I did not have sex with that woman. William Jefferson Clinton met with Attorney General Loretta Lynch on the tarmac in Arizona. Remember that meeting when they say, oh, we're just talking about our grandchildren. Yeah. Yeah. We now know, that conversation was where, according to reports, y'all know I have to say it that way. Well, the allegations are now that that is where Loretta Lynch assured Mr. Clinton that the FBI would not go any further with the corruption investigation into he and his wife. This is sick, man. This is sick. Catherine Herridge has, John Solomon at Just the News has the actual physical email. And I'm going to ask the question that I'm going to continue to ask, when are the handcuffs being applied? When will the handcuffs be applied? So while you had President Trump saying lock her up before he listened to Comey the Clown and others and didn't prosecute her. The FBI was working behind the scenes. shutting down active investigations. Can I make this stuff up? So this tangled web that they had woven, it's unraveling. But I will continue to say, if all we have is information that's used for political purposes and keeping the populace informed, I mean, even when you stop and consider, right, as long as the Clinton family has access to the White House, into the measures of power, into the realms of power in Washington, D.C., the Clinton Global Initiative has gobs of money, right? But as soon as they have no access to the White House, you mean to tell me this charity dries up? It just all of a sudden we don't need initiatives globally from the Clintons any longer. All of a sudden, you know, that's just a winky dink, huh? Remember the Uranium One deal? Remember that? And there's lots of conversation now that what we witness with the Biden administration with, you know, got to make sure you take care of the big guy, eh? That's because the Bidens watched the Clintons and say, oh, snap, they got away with it. Our turn. If this does not end in criminal indictments with handcuffs applied and people going to prison, I shudder to think about what could be around the corner. Thereafter. You ever wondered how could a superpower like the United States of America, could it fall? This is how, folks. This is how. I'm grateful that the information is coming out. I'm grateful for the exposure. It's not enough for us to just learn. You know, it's amazing. Now it's coming out that there are active criminal investigations into the Clinton family because of their selling their office and access to the office. And like you have, you know, Nigerian oligarchs, you know, that are literally saying, oh, yeah, I gave the Clinton some money and I got this favor from the American government. You know, Peter Schweitzer, in his book Clinton Cash, he would talk about how there would be memos that would be sent to the State Department when Hillary Clinton was there, and certain requests would be made, and they would say, hey, I need this done because I'm FOB. And nobody knew what that was, and it turns out FOB was an abbreviation for Friend of Bill. Somebody's got to go to handcuffs in prison. Handcuffs in prison. This is sad, man. This is sad. I'm going to move on from that for now, but I'll have much more to say about this. So I have been discussing this issue of President Trump using the Home Rule Act to federalize the Metropolitan Police Department. And I've said prior to this moment, and I want to make sure I say this very clearly, I am grateful for the vision that, frankly, God gave the Founding Fathers with the separation of powers. I am not in favor for federalization of local police officers. However, I do understand what the Constitution allows for the District of Columbia only, considering that it is the federal city and the federal capital of our nation. I've done what I've done on this topic because people that are saying that this is tyrannical and this is illegal, that's just not true. You can state your disagreement with the actions of the president without lying about whether or not it's lawful. You get what I'm saying? And I've also argued that the law only allows this to happen on a temporary basis. If it's to be extended beyond the immediate 30 days, then there must be a joint resolution from both houses of Congress in order for that to happen. All right? That is the law. Okay? So people lying about that need to be confronted about that. That's not true. We should be able to have reasonable discourse about things we agree with and disagree with without lying about them. Well, the president, his, specifically his actions to federalize the Metropolitan Police Department and policing in Washington, D.C., got praise from a unique sector. You know, there was a public official, there is a public official who is a member of the Democrat Party who actually has praised the actions of President Trump. And it just happens to be Metropolitan Police Department Chief Pamela Smith. I know you won't get this from Goebbels, Inc. She actually said in the local television news on a local D.C. news station that she's actually supportive of the federal law enforcement help that bolsters what her agency has been trying to do in curb crime in Washington, D.C. Listen to and watch Metropolitan Police Chief Pamela Smith describing the federal activity, the federal policing activity in D.C. It's clip number three. Clip three, go.
The White House announced 23 arrests last night, including a homicide, DUI, fare evasion, and other crimes. Is that on par with what we generally see on a weeknight in D.C., more or less?
Not necessarily. I mean, remember, you're talking about 500 additional personnel in the District of Columbia. And as you know, we've talked about the fact that we're down in numbers with our police officers. And so this enhanced presence clearly is going to impact us in a positive way.
Won't get that on the Crescent News Network. You have the Democrat chief of police in Washington, D.C. saying the increased police presence as a result of the federal forces is going to impact the city in a positive way. You think any of these talking heads on these television networks are going to cover that? It just, I'm sharing that so you can be informed, because most of these places are not going to even report that. Now, why is it that Police Chief Smith is saying that the increased force is welcomed? Well, you know, there's this thing called history, especially in and recent history, that we need to be mindful of. Because remember, there was this little thing that transpired in about 2020. That led to calls to defund the police in major metropolitan areas all over our country. And the Metropolitan Police Department in Washington, D.C., like other urban police departments, began hemorrhaging law enforcement officers. So the police chief went on to explain that we don't have enough officers to cover the entire District of Columbia. So having the additional personnel is helpful for us. I told you yesterday, she said, we're going to now be able to have the physical presence of the federal officers, which would allow the local police officers to execute warrants, arrest warrants, for criminals who have already been formally charged, but were on the loose. Since Monday, this started Monday, guys. Since Monday, there have been over 100 arrests. And the police chief has asked, would this be normal without the federal support? She said, no. Because we're talking about an additional 500 personnel that's going to have a positive impact on our city. And you're absolutely right. In the chat, they're saying, you know, they're going to come after her for her truthful comments. Yep, you're right. You're right. They probably will. But this is what I was talking about. I've been talking about it this week. This palpable irrationality, guys. It is evidence of a spiritual problem. We shouldn't be surprised if you have this whole push, defund the police, that you have experienced police officers that say, you know what, I think retirement sounds good right about now. That those efforts hurt recruitment efforts. Of course you should have high standards. Of course you should have people who have the appropriate, if you will, bedside manner for interacting with the populace. But make no mistake about it, there are criminals in the country So this idea we need to have social workers doing, you know, patrol and traffic stops, that's just insane. That's insane. So I wanted you to hear from the police chief herself. Not filtered through anybody's comments about what the police chief said. I wanted you to hear her say it herself. This is going to be positive for the city. All right. I'm going to move on. So tomorrow, President Trump is scheduled to sit face-to-face with Vladimir Putin. There's lots of debates. He shouldn't agree to meet with Putin face-to-face without having prior concessions. And I think people who make those arguments, they think there's a reasonable argument. President Trump has said that he feels like he needs to sit directly across from Putin to get a in-person assessment as to whether or not he truly is willing to negotiate towards a ceasefire. That's what he said, you know. So it's happening tomorrow. I want to give you some of the information so that you can have an idea of what has been publicly disseminated as to what to expect. The summit is supposed to start at about 3:30 p.m. Eastern. That will be 2:30 Central Time at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson in Anchorage. All right. That is a U.S. military installation located in the northern part of Anchorage, Alaska. The summit is supposed to begin with a one-on-one meeting with President Trump and Vladimir Putin, accompanied only by their interpreters. Nobody else in the room. Now, I don't know this for a fact, but you think Putin can't speak English? I would be surprised if that boy doesn't speak English. I know President Trump doesn't speak Russian, you know, but I'm pretty sure Putin probably speaks English. I'm saying pretty sure. I think the likelihood of Putin speaking English well is probably high. Now, I don't know that for a fact. That's just what I surmise. So the summit is supposed to begin at about 2:30 p.m. Central Time with Putin, Trump, and their interpreters alone, four people total. Following the private session, the schedule says the leaders are supposed to continue their discussions over a working lunch where their delegations will be present. Five additional persons on each side of the conversation. Five with Putin, and they named them, but I'm not going to go through all of their names. President Trump has not named the five persons who will join him in these discussions. President Trump has said that if the conversations do not go well, he is open to additional sanctions on Russia. And if it doesn't go well, he said, I'm not calling anybody. But if things do go well, he's going to call Zelensky and European allies to see if we can move towards a ceasefire. He thinks that there's a possibility that there could be an agreement, but he also is aware that there's a real chance that nothing may come out of this. But I wanted you to be aware of when this is supposed to take place and the kind of format that they've described that the meetings are supposed to take place in. According to reports, there have been over 1.4 million people killed in this Russian-Ukrainian war. Summit tomorrow in Alaska. More Hamilton Corner when we come back from this break.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
climate change is truth exchange. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. When God created Adam and Eve, he gave them a dominion mandate to wisely rule the earth and worship God. Instead, man rebels against God and worships himself and the earth. This has led to all manner of foolishness with the environment. Cows and crops are bad, oil and gas are bad, and humans are especially bad because we cause climate change. Their failed predictions of doom and gloom prove they are false prophets. Romans 1 says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. Hear our most recent program on climate change with a Christian climatologist at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. You know, communist Zoran Mamdani, he calls himself a Marxist. You know, this dude is up by almost 20 points in the New York City mayoral, according to recent polls. There's a five-person field that consists of current mayor, incumbent mayor Eric Adams, former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, Republican nominee Curtis Sliwa, and also includes Mamdani, and he's up almost 20 points, according to polls. I certainly hope the polls are wrong. Will this be the first openly Marxist elected mayor of a major American city? Notice I said openly. I ain't say the first Marxist. And that's a chuckle. That's a nervous chuckle. Guys, what what is happening? It's happening right before our very eyes. Right before our very eyes. With a lead like that, and the election is November 4th in New York City, if the polling is accurate, that's going to be a hard lead to overcome. The city that's home to NASDAQ, Wall Street, the U.S. stock market is going to elect a Marxist to be its mayor. Something to ponder. All right, I'm going to share this next story just because this is... Can I make this stuff up? So California Governor Gavinito Mussolini, you know, his government name is Gavin Newsom, but y'all know I call him Gavinito Mussolini. He clearly wants to be the next Democrat nominee for the presidency. He is doing anything to grab attention, to grab headlines. So with the debate concerning redistricting in Texas, he's decided to launch a Californian Democrat gubernatorial-led redistricting effort, you know, because they have all those Republicans that get elected out there in California to Congress, you know. This dude is so lame. He is so lame. He is just openly looking for attention. Openly looking for attention. So he was hosting a press conference inside of a venue to discuss his plans for redistricting in the state of California. And outside, while this is going on inside the building, right outside of the building, you have federal law enforcement officers who are arresting illegal aliens. Guys, I am not kidding. I am not kidding. And you have the federal law enforcement officers say, well, we didn't know Gavin Newsom was in there doing whatever he's doing. We don't know, but... what we're doing, since we don't have politicians who want to protect L.A., we're going to be here to do it, and we're going to keep doing it. This is this It can't make this stuff up. Listen to and watch clip number five. Clip five, ultimately, where the Fed chief, Greg Bovino, speaks with a local reporter in Los Angeles. Listen to and watch clip five. Clip five, go.
Well done.
Greg, you know, from Fox 11. Can I get a quick comment?
Hey, what's going on here?
How you doing? What happened?
We're here making Los Angeles a safer place. Since we won't have politicians that'll do that, we do that ourselves. So that's what we're here today, as you can see. Already making it a safer place. We're glad to be here. Not going anywhere.
And you know, the governor's inside right there.
I don't know where he's at.
Do you have he's about 100 feet behind us. Do you have any comment from him or anything?
Again,
any message?
We're making Los Angeles and California a safer place. We're going to continue to do that. And they can take that one to the bank and cash it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
They can take that one to the bank and cash it.
Take it to the bank.
Take it to the bank, Jeff, and cash it.
Take it to the bank.
That's just hilarious, guys. I'm sorry. That is hilarious. Hey, the governor's inside here about 100 feet behind us. What's your message for him? I don't know where he is. I don't know where he is, but we won't have politicians who'll do it, so we'll do it. What a contrast. And I want to be clear. What I'm saying is hilarious is knowing you have, you know, open borders, Gabinetto Mussolini, and all of this going on, and you have Border Patrol agents right outside doing what they've been tasked to do. That is funny. And then on that point, and this, I saw this, I didn't get to it. Actually, I had this, I believe last week, Dean Cain, the Lois and Clark star. He's come out saying now he works for ICE. And as soon as he was hired by ICE, he is actively recruiting others to join ICE. And I captioned this, Superman has signed up for ICE, baby. Listen to and watch clip number one. Clip one, go.
Hey, everybody, Dean Cain here. And for those who don't know, I am a sworn law enforcement officer, as well as being a filmmaker. And I felt it was important to join with our first responders to help secure the safety of all Americans, not just talk about it. So I joined up. And here's your opportunity to join ICE. You can earn lots of great benefits and pay. Yet since President Trump took office, ICE has arrested hundreds of thousands of criminals, including terrorists, rapists, murderers, pedophiles, MS-13 gang members, drug traffickers, you name it, very dangerous people who are no longer on the streets. You can defend your homeland and get great benefits like a $50,000 signing bonus. Think about that. Student loan repayment legally. Enhanced retirement benefits and special pay for those in the field operations and law enforcement roles. I don't get that special pay, but you also don't need an undergraduate degree. You can get to work right away. So if you want to help save America, ICE is arresting the worst of the worst and removing them from America's streets. I like that. I voted for that. They need your help. We need your help to protect our homeland and our families. So check into it, as I said, and join today if it's something that tickles your fancy, because we can use you.
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem announced that there is a $50,000 sign-on bonus available for those who join up with ICE. That is very interesting. But you got Superman joining ICE. Thought that was quite interesting. Now I'm gonna circle back to this, you know, and don't give me flashbacks of Jen Psaki. Circle back Psaki. To this Mom Donnie in New York City, man. I have no doubt that they will, the New Yorkers, should they elect him, I have no doubt that they will regret it shortly thereafter. I have no doubt about that. But my concern is about what has and what is happening to our country. You know, I made the statement before. You look at, you know, previous presidents, you know, the Clintons go into the White House. They leave the White House wealthier than they went in. You know, the Obamas go into the White House, leave the White House wealthy. The Bidens go into the White House, leave the White House wealthier than they've ever been before. You have the revelations coming from Tulsi Gabbard and now Cash Patel that are connecting the dots. And again, many of us have known this and suspected it, but we didn't know all of the specific players that were involved and specifically what they said and what they did. But to learn that you have an intelligence analysis provided by our intelligence community to Mr. Obama, and it says that, you know, the Russians didn't have any influence on our elections, and they couldn't. They did not influence it, and they did not have the capacity to influence it. And then you have the response, no. Don't formalize that briefing. Go do another one and explain how they hacked our election. What? You have field office FBI agents actively investigating she or shall never be president and her lying husband, who, by the way, who was otherwise engaged, so he couldn't deal with Osama bin Laden before 9/11. He was even on the horizon, you know. You have an active investigation going on, yet you have the Obama DOJ saying, don't worry, we'll shut that investigation down. We'll shut it down. These people actively selling influence and access to the White House. You have the Clinton Global Initiative that has hundreds of millions of dollars as long as they have access to the White House. As soon as they no longer have access to the White House, it goes to zero. It goes to zero. And you have anybody ask questions, how does your nonprofit go to zero? Just like that. I'm sure you had all kinds of wonderful, you know, educational and altruistic things you were doing, right? No. You have these things happening at the exact same time. The continued infiltration of our education establishment all the way up into the upper echelons of universities. Consistently producing committed regressives. Consistently. Many of you know the program we've done, the programs we've done, where you've had atheists and communists and Marxists who intentionally infiltrated our educational establishment for the express purpose of accomplishing what is happening now. You know, Charles Francis Potter, signer of the Communist Manifesto. What can theistic Sunday schools do? Educating only a fraction of the children for only a fraction of the time to stem the tide of a full 5-day-a-week programming of humanism. Every school is a school ally of humanism. That's what he argued. John J. Dunphy, doesn't matter what the subject matter is, whether it's kindergarten on to university, that we infuse it with this ideology. Horace Mann, we view parents who send children to our schools as having given hostages to our cause. And now we have New York City about to elect a Marxist mayor. You think that's a coincidence? And let me add, not only a Marxist mayor, but a October 7th from the globalize the intifada. Marxist mayor. Doesn't bode well, folks. It doesn't bode well. And I agree, they're going to regret it, you know. Yeah, I have an idea. Let's have government-run grocery stores. Government-run grocery stores. And most people rightly, like, what? Government-run grocery stores? Get out of here. But we don't have that same objection to government-run education. I'm just telling you the truth. There's a reason wherever these Marxist ideas have been tried, they've always failed. Always. And they always will. Because they deny a fundamental truth about mankind. The Great Commission, as people are born again, will inevitably impact our society. We cannot maintain our system and self-governance if we don't have a self-governed people. Self-governance, also known as self-control, is a fruit of the spirit. If we truly care about our country, we will share the gospel in our country and make disciples in our country. Because as John Adams said, our constitutional Republican form of government is only effective for wholly religious and moral people. It is altogether inadequate for the governance of any other.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.